Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
It's Jordan, Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Hot Pants Thorne.
Jordan Morris, boy detective. Those aren't hot pants.
So well, this causes a lot of confusion.
Temperature-wise, not because I must say, usually I'm physically attracted to you.
Yeah.
Not in those pants, though.
Really?
No.
These are really dampening your attraction
to me. Yeah, sorry. So, I mean, I would say that they're the opposite of hot pants, unless they're making you warm temperature-wise.
Yeah, that's the exact issue.
Oh,
these are
I
not
see.
Short shorts.
Mm-hmm.
Although, I mean, when you want to talk about who likes short shorts, I like short shorts.
Sure. That's a song, I think.
Yeah.
Song.
These are a heavy woolen pant that I put on this mm-hmm. morning because I was leaving the house at like 6 a.m. in the rain to go to the flea market.
Right.
They served their purpose well at the flea market. But then instead of changing pants mm-hmm. midday, I took a nap while watching the football game.
In the wool pants.
And the wool pants stayed, and I was unable to change the wool pants. And we're going to be in this studio. My legs are going to be getting hotter and hotter.
Well, hey, it doesn't have to be like that. Brian, get some scissors. Let's make those into wool shorts.
Yes.
Wool shorts. Wool shorts.
Wool shorts.
Yes,
wool
puzzle master wool shorts.
How are you doing, buddy?
Oh, good. Just saying stuff that sounds like other stuff.
Having some herbal tea.
Having
it looks
a little
like.
Herbal tea. Oh, I had an herbal tea character for a while, didn't I?
Yeah, I think you did.
Okay, let me see if I can remember what this herbal tea character sounds like.
I hope you can, because I can't.
Okay, hold on here. I think
sip the tea. That'll help jog your memory.
I think he's coming back.
Like
I think
Proust's Madeleine.
I think I can see him waving at me.
Uh huh.
I'm just so proud of my son. There he is. There he is.
He's proud of his son.
He's proud of his son.
What can I ask?
Well, my son had a rough couple years.
Yeah.
But he's really getting it together.
Wow.
Hold on. He's taking a correspondence course.
Oh.
There's my famous character.
Wow.
Herbal tea, calm man.
Those credits are transferable.
Calm man. Herbal, his whole full name is Herbal T. Kalmaman.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So if any time you want to talk to Herbal, just ask me if Herbal is here.
Yeah.
And then I'll see if I can find him in this crazy little apartment building we call a brain of mine.
Oh.
It's full of characters.
Is it really?
No, just the one.
Okay.
Oh, and Bronx guy, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, yo. Anyway, yeah, so yeah, guy. Those two. Those two live in an apartment building together.
Jordan, it's a holiday season. Should we introduce our holiday guests on the program?
Yes, I would love to.
I think you could argue that these are holiday pants.
Could and what?
Instead of hot pants?
How would you make that argument?
Well,
they're brown, the color of the Yuletide.
They're a mossy green.
Oh, okay.
With a red overcheck. Red and green, of course, are the colors of the season.
There you go. Well,
these
sorry.
Are exactly the pants
they
you would want.
They look brown from where I'm sitting.
You know, I initially bought these because they were a required uniform for my wassailing team.
Oh, yeah? But what happened to the wassailing team?
We went a wassailing, but a few didn't come back, and we decided to disband.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
They died while wassailing?
It's a dangerous game.
Yeah.
Not the most dangerous game, that's Hunting Man.
That's Hunting Man for sport, of course. But the second most dangerous game.
Is going a wassailing.
Hey, our holiday-themed guests.
Yes, they're here in...
Very special.
They're here in the great city of Los Angeles because, well, one of them lives here. The other one is performing with the first one in a holiday spectacular, a nationally touring holiday spectacular. They're the hosts of The Art of Process here on MaximumFun.org. They are Amy Mann and Ted Leo. Hi, Amy and Ted.
Hello.
Hello.
I have so many comments.
Oh, gosh.
Let's,
I know.
Yeah, well, Amy, you first. What are your comments?
Well, first, the Christmas show is not nationally touring. It's only at the Largo.
It has been in the past.
In the past, it
may
has.
Yet
this
be
year,
again.
No. We couldn't get it together for the
it may
touring
rise
company.
Like the other Jesus.
Well, Jesus
the
rose.
Other Jesus.
That's
right. The other Jesus.
Maybe you could do an Easter
well, this
tour.
Well, this is what. Yeah, the show's called The Other Jesus.
The other thing is, can't get enough of pants talk.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Let's discuss these pants.
Yeah.
Let's discuss the pants.
I would say this color is kind of a Loden.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's got that tweedy check. Not really check, but.
Is there a slight herringbone going on?
Yeah,
in there?
It's a slight
there is
herringbone.
A herringbone in there. Yeah.
A little subtle herringbone.
There's a subtle herringbone.
Now, my husband and I have been watching a television show that he loves, that he's sort of foisted on me, that's called All Creatures Great
yes!
and Small.
Yes! The greatest paid right? show of all time!
It's so, the clothes are so great, and they're all of these, like, Fair Isle vest, sweater vest, and
wait, are you
tweed.
Against this?
No, no, I love
if
it.
If I was married to someone who was making me watch All Creatures Great and Small,
it's kind of
I'd
awesome.
Never leave the house again.
It's kind of awesome. It's like, but it is such a, like, a BBC show with from the 70s,
a lot
shot
of,
on videotape.
I was going to say a lot of awkward transitions yeah. between film and
film
video.
Outside.
They film the outdoors yeah. Yeah. on film right. and the yep. indoors right. on video.
And it's about a veterinarian's assistant, not even the vet, not even the main vet. The main vet is Siegfried, is amazing. The actor is amazing.
He's fucking gorgeous.
And because it's about a vet, there are shots with a guy's arm just directly inside the uterus of a cow.
And you wonder how
I mean,
they did that. What was going
I
on in the England
yep.
of the 1970s? They were just like, here's the deal, guy who plays James Harriet. We're going to give you a 2-week veterinary course.
Yeah.
And we're just going to send you out there to the Dales and get your arm up some cows.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Do these
gonna...
appear to be real cows?
They're 100% real. What, yeah.
There's wow. there is no budget for any kind of legerdemain. Like, it is not right. a CGI cow.
There's a little bit of.
I mean, it's, I'm so thrilled to go back to the days of practical cows, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
CGI. Exactly. It just looks so fake.
I mean, CGI didn't exist yet. I think the best they could have done would have been that kind of. Not claymation, but that kind of like Sinbad and the, you know.
Oh, right.
The,
a stop motion.
The old Kraken.
Yes.
Kind of,
yeah. Right. Exactly. Right. Kind of a Ray Harryhausen yeah, cow.
Yes, they actually
cutting back and forth between, you know, an actual veterinarian's doing some kind of round. But
right,
no,
right.
but you know, it's like, no, that's the actual
right,
actor. What are you doing?
Yeah, because maybe
why
was
is this
authorized?
A two shot? Why not just shoot a close up? Why yeah. do you need to have the cow and the actor in the shot with yeah. the arm up the cow?
It's incredible. And the, The hygiene is really rudimentary. They give me a bucket and yeah. a bar of soap.
In both the okay. books, I also like to read the books.
The books were great, yeah.
In both the television show and the books, like one of the main things is, can you go get me a bucket?
It's all, yes. get, just yes. give me a bucket.
Go yeah. get me a, like he just shows
I
up.
I just need a bucket.
Shows up on a farm. The farmer says, hey there, Harriet. And then
she says, she's my favorite cow. I hear
yeah,
a lot.
Exactly.
Yeah. Go, she's a good milker.
And James Harriet says, can you bring me a bucket?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll need a bucket.
He could travel with a bucket. He travels with a lot of stuff.
It's not out of the question to assume a farm is going to have a bucket.
Yeah.
But also, your point is taken.
You put one, you'd use your own bucket for one thing. It might not be hygienic to use it for another thing.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. Sure.
Point.
Maybe it's an apple
that's
bucket.
Right. Yeah.
Sure. Maybe it's a bucket for a child.
They don't
it's a
seem
child
to bucket. Care.
Child bathing bucket.
Yeah, yeah a child bathing bucket.
Baby bathing bucket.
Yeah. A BBB. Sure.
Yeah, I love a nice big bad BBB.
Big bad BBB.
British baby bathing British baby bathing bucket.
British baby bathing bucket. British baby bathing bucket. Oh, now we're warmed up. We can start the podcast.
Oh, I'm so happy that you watched that television show, Amy. This is one I have the DVD box set, not to brag.
Now, I'm sorry to interrupt. Did you get that from the Signals catalog?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Along with my cassette tapes of the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy radio show.
Not springing for the Blu-rays on those? I think
no.
you really want to see those video segments in ultra clear.
In all their gorgeous graininess.
I think so, yeah.
I like – something I like about that television show is they're all very good-looking and shot very unflatteringly and have very
yes.
British teeth.
Yes, that's
so
right.
It is like I kind of have a crush on the woman who plays James Harriet's wife on the show.
Haven't even gotten to his getting
she
married.
She hasn't even gotten married yet. Yeah. Well, you're going to love
boy.
Her. She's
hey,
a,
spoiler,
she's a real
man.
Ray
Come
of
on.
Sunshine. She's a real ray of sunshine. But I think she's very beautiful, very charming. And what's interesting about it is that she's so often shot in unflattering light.
The lighting is terrible.
Like yeah. all of them,
it's
all
terrible.
Of them, it's just a weird pasty wash across the
yeah.
set.
Yeah.
And
unflattering shadows.
I like it because it makes me feel like I could work in television.
Uh-huh.
Basically.
Yeah.
Oh, you got the pants for it.
Yeah. I'm ready, Hollywood.
Yeah, put that on your audition seat. Brings own pants. So you guys have a holiday show that you've done this holiday show before.
Yes.
What are both of your relationships to the holiday season? What are the Leo and Man holiday traditions?
Ooh.
Well, are you Christmas celebrators? We can start there.
Yeah. Christmas celebrators, mostly I can't get it together and then the holiday's over. Like, I'm up for it. I like a tree and decorations. We're bad at it. And also, I think all of my holiday spirit goes into getting this show together.
Mm. Which is good. It gives, it's a way to actually do something that you are forced to do because people have bought tickets to come.
Are you guys
better? Dredge up some Christmas cheer.
Yeah, exactly.
So one way or the other, we'll be singing Christmas songs and looking at someone in a Santa suit. Right.
But I think that we both, when we started doing this together again, I think it was partly because we both had bonded on the fact that we both do like the Dickensian Christmas, vibe.
Right.
We like the hygge.
You like a stocking filled with oranges.
Yes.
Yes.
Stocking filled with oranges, some holly and some, mold.
Yeah.
Mold.
Can I back up to hygge for a second?
Yeah, sure.
That is something I've been seeing people chatting about online.
Uh-huh.
I don't think I have a clear definition of it. Is it something you can define for me?
I think it's a Danish word, but it's that kind of Scandinavian cozy,
snuggling by the fire with
minimal, stylish, but
hot
cozy.
Cocoa,
okay.
Minimal. Where the outside world is hostile to the point of mortal danger.
Right.
Okay.
Well,
because of the weather.
Yeah.
But inside, the fire's crackling.
Mm-hmm.
Your furniture has clean lines, and your
maybe
lap blanket
and your stocking is full
could
of
be
oranges.
A chunky knit throw.
Yeah, a chunky knit throw.
Probably your sandwich is open-faced and creative.
Okay. Something melted on them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
This sounds good.
Thank you. Right. I still don't understand. No, I do. So you both like, how do you both feel about Christmas music?
I kind of like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got into this because my manager, I think it was like 2009 or maybe, no, not a longer.
A little earlier than that, I think.
2005, I can't remember.
Yeah, maybe.
A long time ago. My manager said, suggested I make a Christmas record, which I thought was a ridiculous idea. And then I started thinking about if I did, your mind just immediately goes what would that look like? And then I realized that there are Christmas songs that I do really like, and that there's kind of like this quiet, almost spookiness about Christmas that I really like. And so I started thinking about it in earnest and did end up making a Christmas record. Now, having said that, I think he was thinking, you're too depressing. Make a Christmas record to show people that you have a cheerful side, which is like, I don't know who you think you're dealing
right.
with. Like, so of course,
off-brand.
My Christmas record was like, it's very moody.
On brand.
Yeah, was completely on brand. Yeah. And then he also suggested a Christmas show, which I've ruined the concept of a Christmas show. Like, I don't know. I mean, it's reasonably cheerful. Like,
it's not
uncheerful.
Yeah, no. It's
there's
the
some
show
costumes.
Is fun. I mean, we've written Christmas
songs together.
It's actually
a lot of comedy stuff.
We've written Christmas songs together that are
they're down,
kind of downers.
Yeah, they're more. Yeah, they're more. Yeah.
But that's real too. I mean, part of the holiday for a lot of people, if not everybody, is reflecting on loss.
Yeah, sure. I'll be home for Christmas.
Another year wasted.
Yeah.
So that's what we channel sometimes.
Yeah.
Why do we work in entertainment?
Yeah.
Right.
Et cetera, et cetera. Why not add something to the world?
Sure. Should I just be playing video games on Twitch? This is maybe me personally. Me personally, what I'm wondering. So you can apply your own whatever to that.
Do you two have, because I have, and I'm gonna hold it back for right now.
Mm.
I have a strong preferred number one Christmas music recording.
Oh, okay.
But do the two of you have particular favorite Christmas songs, not to sing, but to hear in the drugstore or to put on in the stereo at home.
And I'll actually add to this because I have a couple Christmas songs that I like.
I thought you were going to break into song just then. The way that you went,
because I don't have any strong feelings about this topic. No, I actually have a Christmas song that I loathe.
Okay.
I don't know if you have faves and non-faves, yeah. But I would love to hear about either of them.
Favorite records, which is I must have just heard it a million times when I was a kid, so to me it is the Christmas record, is Johnny Mathis, Christmas.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
That's a great choice.
And that just got lodged in, and I can listen to that over and over and over.
I feel like a Christmas crooner... Mm-hmm. A Johnny Mathis, a Bing Crosby, a Nat King Cole.
Dean Martin.
It is really the peak of that kind of music for me.
Like, yes, agreed.
I am always happy to hear a straight-ahead 1950 recording of one of those people singing a regular Christmas song other than like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Yes.
Like
yes.
Children's novelty songs I'm not nuts about.
Yeah.
But, you know, just a real straight-ahead Christmas song. Those things, yes. Have Nat King Cole sing it, yeah. I'm thrilled. Have Johnny Mathis sing it, I'm thrilled.
The Christmas song written by the Jewish man.
Right. Yes.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
That's... Those are the ones. Those are the ones. Yeah.
Silver bells, etc.
Chestnuts roasting. That's the top.
I also really like in that genre. I like the dips into the hymnal. You know, like I really respond to "O Holy Night."
Mm-hmm.
That's
sure.
a really beautiful song when done well by some crooner. Of the era. I have some non-traditional faves that we have actually gotten into arguments about, Amy and I. Like, I love
really?
The Ventures Christmas album.
Oh, yeah, oh, sure.
My. That is so un-Christmassy. let's go to the beach. How Christmassy is that?
That's part of the fun. There's a dissonance there.
It's the gift of board shorts.
Yeah.
You can't have guitars in the snow.
No, you can't.
Oh, they don't
surfing
work.
Surfing is not reason for the season.
Snow on the beach doesn't make sense.
Sure.
It doesn't conjure beach to me. It just conjures rock and roll snow.
Ew,
day.
I hate, first of all.
Rock and roll sledding.
Ew, rock and roll sledding. You can't make Christmas cool or groovy in any way.
I disagree. Have you heard the James Brown Christmas record?
Yeah, those are pretty cool.
That's great. Yeah.
Those are great. Those are both groovy and cool.
Yeah.
Otis Redding has some cool Christmas songs.
Fine.
I would say my Christmas genre generally is I really like an early R&B Christmas song, like a Charles Brown or an Amos Milburn or something like that. That's like the ones where... I am most happy to have them in the background at any given time, even though I've heard them 1,000 times, like a piano blues type of
interesting.
Thing.
Interesting.
And then, but my...
We need to explore that more.
Yeah.
My strongly number one Christmas, and probably my favorite Christmas album is the Jackson 5 one, although I also like the Phil Spector one, murderer though he may be.
Mm-hmm.
But...
the murdering part kind of wrecks the Christmas.
It does.
For me.
It does kind of loses the Christmas spirit. Although,
Jesse,
you
like any Christmas album that's slightly problematic?
Yeah, exactly.
That you have to do a little mental gymnastics to listen to.
Profoundly problematic. I had Ronnie Spector on The Sound of Young America once, and she was so fucking cool and fun.
Yeah.
Like, she delivered on what you would like to get out of talking to Ronnie Spector so spectacularly, so
fantastic.
12 out of 10, that it warmed my heart permanently despite the fact that it was all arranged by an actual murderer.
Yeah.
But my favorite Christmas recording by a mile is This Christmas by Donny Hathaway.
Oh,
which apparently was just
Hang
written by a woman who was... Exactly.
Together. Last Christmas.
That's my favorite, 5 seconds of music.
Yes.
I don't have a strong feeling about the rest of the song, but that should just be the end of all songs.
That song was written by a woman who was not a songwriter and not a professional musician. She was a woman who knew someone who knew Donny Hathaway.
Wow.
She wrote it. She was a secretary. She wrote the song. It's the only I don't know, maybe even be the only published song she ever wrote, but it's certainly the only hit song she ever wrote. She like passed it to somebody who passed it to Donny Hathaway. Donny Hathaway was a production and arrangement genius and singing genius and made the record. And yeah, I think it's like
we have to do it now.
Totally perfect.
Yeah, why didn't I think of that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Make sure you do da na 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 na. That's what everybody's waiting for.
Now let's talk about most hated songs.
Yeah,
should I tell them? Should I give away a portion of our show by telling them about the other Christmas song in my life?
Yes, you should.
Sure. I'm not sure what you're talking about.
The donkey song.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh wow. Sure. I know what I know a donkey Christmas song that fucking sucks.
Well,
unless you love it.
Is it
and then
Dominic
I'm sorry,
the Christmas
it's not Dominic the Christmas
Donkey. Wait,
there's another Christmas donkey song?
Yeah, there's one called Dominic the Christmas Donkey that everybody thinks I'm talking about about this one.
Please tell me about this second donkey song.
This is just called The Donkey Song.
This is worth going to the show alone to see Ted do this.
I'll make this as brief as possible.
No, please get into it.
So, you know, in my family, we had one of those compilation records that had all the crooners on it. And it was Ed Ames who sings this, The Donkey Song. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to, you know, I get along great with my father right now, so I'm not going to like harp on this, but
destroy a relationship,
Ted. History in our family.
Ted Leo Sr. is a big Jordan Jesse Go listener.
Right. Yeah,
it wouldn't surprise me. There is a history of.
He actually listened to it back in college, but now he listens more of a Flophouse.
Didn't we have a listener at a live show who had gotten in a car accident with Ted's dad?
Oh, I don't know.
Yes, what? Brian is nodding yes. Brian is nodding less.
Wow.
Yes. I was like, why do I remember Ted Leo Sr.?
Now, would that be because my dad was driving my car and totaled it in an accident.
Oh, my God.
About 5 years ago, six years ago.
That seems about right. Yeah, that feels about right.
Yeah, I think, we had somebody at the live show at Max FunCon say that they were, they had gotten into an accident with him.
Oh, wow.
And it was like a really very, very pleasant, really, really pleasant experience for him. I think it was their fault, this person's fault, and your dad was really nice about it.
I'm sure.
Your father made a lifelong friend.
Yeah.
It sounds like it was less pleasant for your car, Ted. But
my car's gone, so I never had a chance to ask it.
So, Ted, you want to maintain your relationship
with
your father.
However, you know, there is a history of, you know, if there are emotions to be had in a room, he must have all of them.
Wow.
You know, can be tough sometimes.
You should go into punk rock.
But there was a point when, and in fairness to him also, myself and my younger siblings were often little pieces of shit. And we noticed at one point that when this donkey song, when the first notes of the oboe begin the song.
Wait, it opens with.
I think it's an oboe.
Or like an English one.
A reed. Yeah,
like Amy, I know you think the guitar has no place in Christmas music. How do you feel about the oboe?
I think it's probably the only place the oboe should play.
Right.
Yeah. It's really funny because it reminds me of like, that's why I didn't want the oboe on one of my, like, a song I'm working on.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't like the oboe. Like, the oboe just has a vibe and I couldn't figure out why, but it's like.
It's because of the donkey song?
Hey, remember when we were kids, the oboes would come out after Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
it's like
sure.
Halloween's not even over yet. The oboes are coming out.
Yeah, I feel like I know the Three Kings brought frankincense, myrrh, oboes, and bassoons.
Yeah. Sure.
But still.
He added a fourth king in there, Jesse.
Yeah, well.
There's a second donkey and there's a fourth king.
Yeah. So
the English horn is
we're learning a lot.
We
would notice that when the song started, my father would quiet himself and be fighting back tears unsuccessfully every time.
Mm-hmm.
So then naturally, when the Christmas season began, if we were ever home at the same time, it would be a race to find who could put that record on at the most inopportune time to make him cry.
Wow.
So you're like, if dad is yelling at us, then we can do the record and that'll put a stop to things?
More like general torture. More like, what's that?
Just general torture.
Yeah, general torture or, you know, if he's on the phone with the bank.
God. I mean, I can't blame you.
If he and my mother are making love upstairs.
can I briefly sing you the
Yeah, because I've never even, it doesn't ring a bell to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so you have to picture this strains of this oboe. Boom, boom, boom.
Oboe.
And it goes like this. Long ago in another day, a donkey cried in his donkey way. I'm not beautiful. What good to anyone am I? Other animals are big and strong, or rare, or filled with an animal song. But I'm not beautiful. What good to anyone am I? Heaven cried.
I guess we're singing the whole song.
Donkey, you can carry. Will you carry Mary, angels for your guide? Now on Christmas morn in the stable hay, a donkey smiled in his donkey way.
So deep in trouble.
I feel beautiful. As beautiful as anyone am I. As beautiful as anyone am I.
Oboe.
There you go.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Do you think your father saw himself as a beast of burden?
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow.
Just yoked to a plow.
Well, he's very Catholic.
Okay.
You know, and he's very damaged by that.
Wow. I mean, I feel like a donkey sometimes too.
Sure, we all do.
Yeah.
I mean, there's something to identify in there. It's just the
donkey thinks that you just fucking play video games on Twitch
was
for a living.
That struck. You know, yeah.
I usually feel like a goat, but that's because I like to eat tin cans.
Sure.
Jordan, what Christmas music do you despise?
So I also I do love the girl group Christmas songs. They fucking rule.
Yep.
And you know, the Mariah Carey one's great. Yep. I know it's about the most basic opinion. It's the coldest take at the coldest time of year.
Yeah.
But the goddamn Mariah Carey song is fucking great.
I heard it in the Mexican restaurant I ate lunch in today, and I thought to myself, this is fucking great.
It's great.
No wonder everybody likes this. It's fucking great.
Yeah, and that's the one, like, just keep it going. Mm-hmm. If I'm in the mall, I would love to hear it three times.
Yeah.
I will hear this three times in the mall. But the one that really just feels to me, it makes me feel like I have parasites under my skin that are now trying to get out, claw their way out of my body, and it's simply having a wonderful Christmas time.
Yeah.
Beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop, boop. Bugs are clawing their way out. Beep, boop, boop, beep, boop, boop, boop. They laid some eggs in your brain. That's that song to me. And
I actually like that song.
What's my glitch? Why can't I enjoy it?
I mean, I understand why you hate it. We actually used this in one of our Christmas shows as a denouement. It was a murder mystery.
Santa had been killed backstage.
Yeah.
He's obviously thus one of our guests.
We were interrogating one of our guests by using this song as a torture device to get him to confess. Yeah.
Is it a cold take that's a bad song?
I think so, but I could not agree with you more. I also feel like, what's the Star Trek movie where I think it's Bones has something crawling under his chest and then it bursts out.
And it's that song.
That's what it is, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know what...
Blurp, 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 blurp. It's also the production's blurp, blurp, blurp.
Yes, I
it's
think
like
that's
it's the
it.
Blurpy yeah. production.
I think it's the blurpiness.
Very afterthought-y.
Yeah, it's a
that's exactly it. It's how blurpy it is.
Yeah. It's a stupid song, but I don't think that's the problem with it. Most Paul McCartney songs are stupid.
He's a melodic genius. You're going to hear this door slamming.
He's a melodic genius. I'll grant him that. But, you know,
there's a high dumbness quality.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing.
But, I'm sure. No, I agree. It's the appropriate type of dumbness for a nice song with a beautiful melody. But I think that dumbness in that song, which I think is generally perfectly appropriate for a Christmas song, because mostly all you want a Christmas song to be is it's Christmas time, it's cold right now, we're getting presents round a fire,
yep,
or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's fine. That's plenty of content for a Christmas song.
Right.
Or, you know, maybe like it's Christmas time, the family's here, you know, the end.
Mm-hmm. Sure. But your donkey wants to die. Yes, sure. A Christmas, you know, Christmas song.
But I think that the plonkety plonkety part of it just curdles with it, combines with the dumbness like milk and lemon juice.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
To curdle into this disgusting lumpy mug of nightmare.
I do understand why people feel that way about it. I don't begrudge anyone their dislike.
But what
of that song?
I would love to hear the positive, because I want, this is something that I don't, this is my cart that I am yoked to.
Well, yeah, you don't
because
revel.
Because the song is all over the place. I feel like I went outdoors 2 times this weekend and I've heard it 5 times.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Really
for me.
I should mention I work at Cinnabon.
So. I like the blorp, what we're calling
the
blorpiness of it. It's weird. Like, I like the weirdness.
Yeah,
of it. I like
sure.
the weird, you know,
this
sparse
production.
This is
the man production. Who likes the Ventures Christmas.
That's true. And beyond that, like, I think it's just a fine, simple melody. I think one problem that I do have with it, and I wonder how much this factors into everybody else's dislike of it, is the word wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's tough in any song.
Mm. Wonderful Christmas time?
Wonderful.
That's interesting.
Sure. It's a little generic. I mean,
fine.
I think you could, you know, sure.
I feel like
wonderful Christmas time.
He's
not really saying much, but sure. He's having a good time. Good for him.
I feel like he's putting a lot of, if I can put on my Broadway lyricist hat,
please,
as probably the most gifted lyricist in this room.
Sure. Yes.
I feel like.
Oh, sorry, Bernie Taupin's actually behind you. second. He's standing right behind me, isn't he? That's a classic gag.
I think the. There
love
is a lot of something that makes me uncomfortable with that song is there's really a lot of emphasis on the song on the extended having.
They add a syllable to it.
Having. Like having is a zero word.
Yeah.
It adds nothing to the song.
That doesn't bother me.
I'd rather he goes, simply Christmas time.
Isn't
I would
it weird?
Rather he did that.
Isn't it weird how we all have a different thing that bugs us about this? Like it's, but yeah, I mean, I wonder, I think the lyrical content of the song, the same melody, but if it just had some nice bassoons behind it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Instead of.
I love a Christmas bassoon.
Instead of like
it's a, Christmas
a wet Atari.
The
you
orchestra's
know?
Fruitcake. That's what I call the bassoon.
A wet cocaine Atari.
Yes. Are there now you can't play Missile Command.
Are there other?
Because you dropped this in the bath. Bugs in your eyes.
Are there other songs for the holidays that you can't deal with, Jordan, or is it just that simply having?
Yeah, I mean,
Christmas
I'm pretty neutral on Christmas music. I mean, there's a couple bangers that I always love, but that's the only one that sticks in my craw in any significant way.
I think the Rudolph and the Frosty, which always like cross contaminate each other in my head. Mm. You know, so
why
I always start
they...
singing the Frosty bridge to the Rudolph song.
I'm just gonna say that.
But they're both wildly annoying. Yeah. They're so dumb and basic.
What I
want to
know about them is why are they on an adult musician's Christmas album for adults? Like, I don't think either of them is worse than any other song you sing at a holiday assembly. You know what I mean? Like, if I was an 11-year-old, or when my oldest is 8, if at her school they all got together and sang Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, I would not be mad at Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. It would be fine. And I wouldn't necessarily beg for them to be singing Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire, right? It's fine for a song for children to sing amongst themselves or even in children's performances. But why is like Frank Sinatra singing it? That's what I want to know.
Well, he's just got to churn out the material. That's probably his third Christmas album. And they're like, what do we got? We got nothing. What do we got? Like, do Jingle Bells.
It's either this or King Wenceslas.
Exactly.
I hated the cartoon.
Oh, the Rankin Bass.
That was upsetting to me.
It was upsetting to my eye.
It was really sad. Okay. Like it's upsettingly sad. He's alive.
Yeah.
And Frosty.
And then he has to
Frosty?
It's not. Yeah, Frosty. Then he has to go.
I don't know if I ever saw Frosty. Tell us the story of Frosty.
Well, eventually he has to melt. Like, they have to take the hat off him. He's alive. They have adventures. They get close. And then they know that
the hat can't
stay on forever. Yeah. That's a nice lesson.
The hat is keeping him cold.
That's what the movie Frozen is about.
Oh.
Haven't seen it.
It's about how Josh Gad is going to melt and die.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
There you go.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. We have two holiday experts here, so we're going to solve some holiday problems.
Yeah. Our listeners have come through with a bunch of holiday-themed conundrums, and Ted and Amy, you're going to help them out, and we'll be here not helping.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's Radio Straight.
Jordan Morris, Boy Detective.
Jordan, we're hitting the road. We're headed to San Francisco Sketch Fest 2020 in January, Wednesday, January 15th, 8 p.m., the Punchline Comedy Club. We have set up a murderer's row of guests for this fucking show.
Yes. Back by popular demand. He guested on our last Sketchfest show and was a gosh darn delight.
His entire house is made out of Emmys.
Mr. Tony Emmy House Hale will be our guest. Of course, you know him from Veep. You know him from Arrested Development. You know him from all cartoon voices.
You know him from those Volkswagen Mr. Roboto commercials from the late 90s?
Yeah, I mean, it's maybe not the credit I think he'd want you to highlight. But
I think that's what most people know him from.
It's Forky now.
From the Mr. God, Forky. Fucking Forky. Did you see that Toy Story 4?
Yeah, it's great.
Fucking Forky is so
Forky's
awesome.
Great.
You know who I fucking love?
Forky.
I'm going to say two things I love.
What?
Forky,
mm-hmm.
and that fucking snowman from Frozen, Josh Gad. In Frozen.
Okay,
I fucking love both of those things. They both really make me laugh.
I can't speak to the snowman, but if he's Forky half as good as snowman. Forky, he's pretty good.
Yeah, I say he's three quarters as good as Forky.
But it's not just Tony Hale.
Nope, Glenn Washington from Snap Judgment is going to be there.
Yes,
that's our friend who grew up in a cult.
Yeah. Will he talk about it on stage or will we just goof around?
Our friend Max from our college improv group also grew up in a cult, but it was like a friendly, it was more like a
communal.
Yeah, he considered all the adults to be his parents.
Yeah.
In the place where he grew up.
Hope Max is doing okay. I want the best for Max.
He was doing good last I saw him.
That's
He's
great.
A really good guy,
yeah,
Max.
Yeah, Max is awesome.
And my buddy Pete Fields is going to sing some country songs. Bay Area people might know him from the band Slow Motion Cowboy and Trainwreck Riders. Going to be a new Trainwreck Riders album coming out. Pete sang some country songs on the Judge John Hodgman show right here in Los Angeles.
Yeah. Wonderful singer-songwriter. This is going to be an awesome show. We always love San Francisco Sketchfest. SFSketchfest.com. I am also going to be a guest on the Talking Simpsons podcast the night before. That's Tuesday, January 14th, 8 p.m. at the Piano Fight main stage. Going to sit down with the two hosts of Talking Simpsons and talk about The Simpsons.
Now, what's The Simpsons?
It's a television show. Changed comedy.
It's weird.
Changed comedy and TV forever.
Doesn't seem like... I mean, given he literally murdered two people.
Oh, gosh. You're thinking of O.J. Simpson, and he was acquitted, Jesse.
Okay.
Need I remind you?
Okay. I'm going to be on Judge John Hodgman on January 16th at 7:30 p.m. at the Castro. Also, if you're here in Southern California... I am doing a live put this on sale with some other buddies who sell vintage stuff and records and things like that. It will be in Lincoln Heights in Los Angeles on Sunday, December 15th. It's going to be a good old time. It's at 2613 Pasadena Avenue in Lincoln Heights, which one day will be the new headquarters of MaximumFun.org once we do some work. In the meantime, it will be an industrial chic barren brick building, but free parking, and we'll have lots of gift items for men and women, and as I said, records and lots of cool vintage, and it's going to be a great time. I'm going to be there with Spencer, the Put This On Shop Man. I think you should come by. I think we're going to run from 11 to 4 over there at 2613 Pasadena Avenue in Los Angeles. And of course, putthisonshop.com. You can use the code TUPPIES for free shipping if you're doing some Christmas shopping. Jordan, I also want to mention,
yes,
recently on the program, I mentioned the memorial fund for my friend Evan, who passed away recently. And I just wanted to thank, first of all, I got so many lovely communications from Jordan Jesse Go listeners who, some folks who knew Evan, some folks who had lost someone to overdose, folks who just wanted to say something nice about a guy who seemed like a good guy, which Evan certainly was. And lots and lots and lots of folks donated to his memorial fund, which ended up raising, I haven't gotten the final total, but it's over $20,000 for the Homeless Youth Alliance, who do direct services for homeless youth in San Francisco, including helping get people who are suffering from addiction into treatment and into recovery programs, which is really cool. And I think that $20,000, like, it's really got a shot to alter the course of a few lives so that people can have long, healthy lives. So I'm really, really grateful for that. And I also, you know, Evan's parents were also really touched by everyone's generosity. I know they reached out to me, and they actually ended up matching Maximum Fund's contribution to HYA. So that was a big part of it. But literally hundreds of friends and family of Evan's and listeners of our shows contributed to that fund. And so thanks to everybody. And you can absolutely still support them at MaximumFund.org/Evan, or just donate directly to the Homeless Youth Alliance and mention that it goes to Evan's fund. It has really made a big difference for me in a shitty thing that happened to a guy I cared about, that we were able to turn it into some momentum to help some young people. So thank you, everybody. That's all. We'll talk to you in just a second when we return on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
I'm Ted Leo. Ted's short for Theodore, not Edward.
Yeah.
And wow, I'm Amy Mann.
We are both.
These people are too cool for our show. That's the problem that's going on here.
We have no nicknames. Yeah. I feel like other people are supposed to give you your nicknames.
Amy is literally sitting there in a black turtleneck judging us. That's what's happening right now.
I'm judging you positively about your ability to nickname yourself.
Thank you. We have
just been using the same ones for 13 years. So to be fair, if asked to come up with a new one on the spot, I would have a hard time. Yeah. So you're fine.
Jordan, we've got some holiday quandaries.
We sure do.
And we have some holiday experts here to help us solve them. Brian's got some telephone calls. We've got some that have been written in on Reddit and Twitter and so on and so forth. So why don't we start with a call?
Let's do.
Hey, this is Robin. I'm calling with a holiday conundrum. I work at a coffee shop, and we're doing a Secret Santa, which I'm participating in. But there's also going to be like a Christmas party in late December, which I don't want to go to, but I'm kind of concerned that I should anyway to, I don't know, preserve relationships or something. But so, I don't know, maybe I'm just looking for people to tell me it's okay for me to just not go for no reason other than that I don't want to. Anyway, thanks. Love the show. Bye.
Robin.
Yeah. So their question is, do they have to attend their office Christmas party?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, they are participating in the Secret Santa. That's already...
Yeah. So they're showing some holiday cheer.
Yeah.
But the Secret Santa is probably taking place at the Christmas party.
In my book, that's even more of an excuse for you to not be there.
Really?
Yeah, you're sending a thing to the party in your...
So that's standing... That's your proxy.
Yeah.
The far side desk calendar.
Sorry, I can't be there.
$25 Amazon gift card.
Hope you enjoy the video cassette series of All Things Great and Small.
I also have it on video, by the way. I have it on both DVD and VHS.
Well, you got to get those Blu-rays now.
I know.
Or those are other laser discs.
Yeah, I got to get it on video disc.
Right, yeah. UMD, so you can watch on your PSP.
Yeah.
I got the impression the Secret Santa was separate.
I got that impression
as well. I did too. So, I mean, I think if I'm remembering my kind of office holiday celebrations, Amy, I think you're right. I think traditionally the gift swap thing happens like after lunch.
Hmm.
And then the office Christmas party is like a little more of a of just kind of a boozy mingle, you know?
I would say this. Yeah. This is my feeling. I feel like Robin is not obligated to go to the holiday party.
Mm-hmm.
However, I think it would be nice if Robin made an appearance.
Yeah.
I don't think you have to put too much weight on it, but if you show up, even if you show up for 20 minutes and then you say, "Gosh, I got to go to dinner." I think that would totally satisfy it, and you would get points for contributing to the esprit de corps.
Everybody knows there's a million parties that people have to go to. I say what I usually do is I'm the first to get there, which is a, you know, it's like it populates the bear room, so
right,
it's a boon to the host.
The host appreciates it.
But then you're the first to leave, and nobody minds. Right. Like, you leave as soon as everybody else gets there.
I agree, and I think that that's actually great advice and the best way to play it. But I just want to say that, you know, especially if we're talking about all adults here, like, don't give somebody a hard time for not wanting to come to your party.
Sure.
Holiday party or not, you know?
I think
you work together all year. Like, grow your relationship over that time if someone can't come to a party.
Yeah.
I agree entirely. Okay, here is a question from GW Steve 43. What holiday dessert can I make to impress everyone at my holiday party?
You know what I like around the holidays?
Those little silver balls on cookies that you're not sure
God,
about.
God, are they food?
By the cupful. Yeah.
It's been an ongoing debate on the show.
Mm.
Are those food and what are they?
You know what I do? I just fill mugs with those and then pour eggnog on top.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And silver bullet.
Yep. Sure. Then you. All right.
Yay.
Yes.
It has a name.
yeah. Hey, if you're out there, we want to see you on Twitter taking shots of the silver bullet. So
please don't die.
Fill up a pint glass with eggnog, drop in a shot glass full of those little balls. Yes, and also don't die.
And also don't drink a pint of eggnog.
No, do it. Drink the pint.
Very caloric. Extremely caloric.
You know what I think is fun, kind of as a post-Thanksgiving thing? A cobbler or a crumble.
Oh, yeah.
Not a cobbler or a crumble.
Impressive.
What about a grunt or a buckle?
Oh, wow. What are those?
Variations on cobbler. And
one of those maybe has a biscuit topping.
You have multiple names for a cobbler. A grunt or a buckle. Oh, my God.
I'll just have a little grunt. I'm on a diet. I'm trying to remain in a state of ketosis, but I can have a little grumble.
I think it would be nice if it was a red fruit crumble or like a cranberry or a cherry.
Sure. Those are great crumble.
Something like that. I think that will capture the holiday spirit better than like a peach.
Yeah.
Sure.
Would.
Yeah,
you know, it travels well. It's just you just load some into a, you know, ramekin.
Easy to serve, depending on what kind of serving utensils are on hand.
Can I just say
Plastic spoon.
I love a nice nog. I know it's come up on this program before.
Love a nog.
I'm 100% pro nog. I don't even drink. I just drink straight nog.
Mm-hmm. Non-alcoholic nog.
Yeah. My only thing about the nog is you got to either get an ultra premium nog or make the nog. Because it's sort of like when you go, no matter what brand you buy at the grocery store.
Old New England.
It's like slightly spiced cream.
Yeah.
It's not. It doesn't actually have anything going on.
Because you can just get a Kroger nog for the same price as you can like a pint of milk.
Yeah, that's true. You could just
It's available.
God, I'd love to just like ride around town on a bicycle drinking Kroger nog out of the jug.
Could be
just
the,
wiping my mouth off
be
with
your
the
thing.
Back of my hand.
In your woolen pants.
Yes. Yeah.
There's not a lot of alcoholics that drink just nog, but I feel like this could be your thing.
Right. I'm a drunk for about 6 months, 6 weeks out of the year when the Kroger nog is available.
I like the idea that nog is like, you know, like I just, as a non-drinker, I go to a bar. I'll usually order like a club soda with a dash of bitters or something yeah. like that. I like the idea that my drink at bars as a non-drinker is just straight nog.
Freshly made nog.
Just can you just pour me a nog? Sorry, I don't drink. Could you just pour me a nog?
Yeah.
Be sure to whisk the egg well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like it's sure. May.
Yeah.
And I'm like, could you just pour me a nog? Yeah. Just like a nice nog.
I can see it as a year-round drink.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I feel like your, you know, your Portlands or your Silver Lakes could have some sort of year-round Christmas bar.
Nog bar.
It seems like.
Don't give your arteries a chance to recover.
For me, nog, and I love nog. I genuinely love nog. But like it's sort of like Popeyes in that it's like twice a year or I would come to hate it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a special thing for a special time, a special person.
I'd like a
gin.
By the
pants.
Way, my answer to this question is not nog, because a lot of people hate nog, so you're going to alienate a lot of people. That's been my experience. My answer to this is a chewy gingerbread cookie in a variety of interesting shapes.
Yeah, the shapes. The shapes will get you.
Shapes are big, yes.
I got to go with the shapes. I mean, the crumble's a great idea, but then you do have to serve it in something.
Sure, yeah.
This, you know, yes, stars, gingerbread men.
Rhombus.
Decorated all sorts
rhombus.
Of.
Oh, rhombus.
Sure.
Parallelogram.
Christmas rhombus.
Sure. Christmas. Yes. They say Jesus was the first rhombus.
Yeah.
You get the visual of the shape that conveys the holiday thing.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is kind of actually something we're kind of already talking about, but just to bridge to another question, Dropid Stitch on Reddit asks, what's the best winter cocktail? Mm. A twist on the hot toddy?
My wife loves a hot toddy.
I like a hot toddy.
Toddy rules.
I like
toddy
a hot
is
toddy.
So good.
I
had my
say that's
first
the best.
Toddy of the year last weekend, and I'm still thinking about it.
Do you guys put anything into your hot toddy besides hot water and bourbon or whiskey?
Yeah.
Do you put a little sugar or you put a little lemon or something?
Lemon or like agave. You know, I'm vegan, so I don't do honey, but like agave, you know. That kind of thing.
We had a chai spiced apple cider that was fantastic.
That was really good.
Bring that on.
It's on the Hugo's holiday menu for you, Angelinos.
Sure, yeah.
I love.
That was great.
I love a hot cider.
You will love it even more with a chai spice.
I believe you. I believe you 1,000%.
This is your drink.
Can I have you, you
step
know,
aside, Nog.
Hey, Nog, go fuck yourself.
How do you feel about the mulled wine or the mulled, you know, non-wine?
It's, yeah,
it always sounds better than it tastes.
Yeah.
It's fun. It has a high fun factor, I would say.
It's a vat.
It's a crock
it's a tub,
pot.
Yeah,
it's something you
exactly.
can kind of make in a crock pot. And I like when it's there and I like having a sip of it, but it is a glass of a headache. It is just, I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Hot wine headache.
Yeah, hot wine. Yeah, that hot wine headache.
It does, as a non-drinker, I have to heartily endorse it for making the whole room smell nice.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
underrated.
Quality.
Underrated quality in a mixed drink.
I'm going to bring you back to chai spiced apple cider, though. That's going to do the same thing.
Was that a cocktail or was that just a...
Nope. That wasn't, but you put some rum in it and you've got a sweet thing going.
A little brandy, maybe?
Yep.
Sure.
Hey, hot apple cider, you've got a sweet thing going.
A sweet thing going.
Here's a question. Is it cool again yet to mention that Die Hard is a Christmas movie?
Oh, God. Everybody does that.
Yeah. I'm focused on The Apartment being a Christmas movie right now.
Sure.
I've only seen Die Hard one time in my life, way, way, way late in the game. Like, within the last 3 years, I saw it for the first time. It's not only – I mean, I don't even care about the question. But there's, like, some cursory mention of Christmas. Obviously, that doesn't make it a Christmas movie. It's not, you know, doesn't have a real holiday feel. But the question in the debate, I think, is already, if I have seen this debate 100 times, everybody has seen it 100 times.
There's a, so I mean, this we have a history with this question on the show.
Do you?
Because I think I was, and you know, I'm going to add a little bit of a, I'm going to pat myself on the back a little bit. This is a little bit of a, you know, I saw them when they were playing little clubs instead of big arenas. Yeah, sure. But mm-hmm. I think I was first to be annoyed by the Die Hard as a Christmas Movie dialogue.
You were annoyed by Die Hard as a Christmas Movie back when Die Hard was still in single A ball.
Right. Yes. Exactly.
In Temecula.
Right. Yes. That is another way to put that.
The Rancho Cucamonga Quakes.
Certainly another way to put that. And I think in my circle of people, it includes a lot of pop culture opinion men. Mm-hmm. Who like to loudly say a thing they've observed about something like that. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes it's fun, and I think that sometimes they're just trying to steal the focus in the room. And I think Die Hard as a Christmas Movie is one of these things that I feel like these sorts of men said – they were saying it like they had invented it.
Right.
They were saying it like they had come up with it.
Right.
Come up with your own thing to say loud in a room.
Sure. Yeah. But not the Star Wars prequels are good. Maybe we'll go back to – no.
Not that.
That's something else. There's some good moments in Revenge of the Sith. Anyway.
I don't mean to go down this rabbit hole.
Let's go down a rabbit hole.
I hate the Star Wars prequels. And I'm so glad to finally meet other people who feel the same way.
Do you feel like you had a lot of Star Wars prequels defenders in your life?
Not in my life, but just everywhere else.
In the world, the people do seem... Let's not get off it.
Yeah.
I'll say that I enjoyed some of the production design.
Sure. There's some nice crafts.
Yeah.
There's some well-designed crafts.
I just want somebody to write a new story for one of them at some point.
Sure. Yeah.
Two Christmas movies.
Yeah.
Or Christmas adjacent movies that I have seen recently that I really liked. Mm-hmm. I mentioned The Apartment, which I think is like one of the best comedies ever made.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So funny, so amazing, so fantastic. Is it funny? I find it very funny. Yes.
It's mostly about suicide, right?
Yes, but in a funny way. That's one of the great things about it.
That's true. It has to have funny parts.
Yeah.
But anyway, I feel like it's always on those like AFI, best comedies ever.
It's very funny suicide-wise.
It is, yeah. It's like, I guess when he's making dinner, it's kind of funny. But then it's – anyway. It's a great movie. I'm not saying it's not a –
He uses that tennis racket to strain the spaghetti.
Yes, we've all seen that in every clip montage ever played on every award show.
I watched it a few weeks ago, and
it's a great
movie. Reminded of how
it's
much
funny.
I love it, and I got some really great laughs out of it. But I also recently, with my daughter, who was for some reason obsessed with it, I don't know why, watched Gremlins, the first Gremlins movie.
Oh, yeah, sure.
A lot of Christmas stuff in that.
I
guess I had seen it when I was a kid, but I didn't really remember anything about it besides the Gremlins themselves. And I really enjoyed it as an adult.
Yeah,
there's
Gremlins
a gremlin with a Santa hat on it.
Yeah. Really held up.
That's
solid.
And that's my Santa.
Right.
That's my Santa.
A lot of fun, goofy stuff.
Yes.
It's fun to watch the gremlins go do crazy things.
Puppets are fun.
Yeah.
I have two questions about this.
Please.
What qualifies, like, for example, MAME, you know, the musical MAME?
Mm-hmm. I don't. I know it's a musical, but I don't know anything about
it.
It's got
the number, We Need a Little Christmas, which is...
You don't need to MAME-splain.
Fantastic. Well, apparently.
Sure. Ted's a real MAME lord.
Does that qualify as a Christmas movie? Christmas show?
If a movie ends up with a pivotal plot point at Christmas, then yes.
Okay.
I think
Shop Around the Corner, same thing. It doesn't start out in Christmas, but it ends up, it's a giant arrow pointing towards Christmas.
Right.
Yeah. I think that, like, for example, with those two movies that I described, like, I think The Apartment is, it's about both Christmas and New Year's, but it's about the reevaluations of one's life in the context of family and community,
mm-hmm.
right? Like,
mm-hmm.
or ersatz family, because it's office family, but also romance, right? And I think if it has a Christmas theme in addition to a little bit of Christmas context, that works for me. And then with Gremlins, I think, you know, it's about the nature of gift giving and consumerism, where they go apeshit in the stores, and it's like, you know, it's
capitalism run wild.
Yeah, exactly.
This is why, I mean, obviously Christmas Carol aside, I think that most Dickens fits into this category because it deals with the same things. There's usually a Christmas scene. It's
mm-hmm.
usually, you know, it's usually a time when they are exploring both, you know,
their sexuality,
family relationships, and, you know, the working conditions and, you know, consumerism, burgeoning consumerism and capitalism, etc. Almost any Dickens movie or book fits in for me.
Interesting.
I would like to finish my
oh,
I would
sorry.
Like to, oh no, that's okay. Hey, that's what these chat podcasts are all about. You follow a thread and then you come back and there you go.
And you
classic.
Continue to disappoint the audience who are looking for content.
That's exactly. Yes. So I think we were early to complaining about Die Hard as a Christmas movie, but now I think everyone has caught on. And now I think we are piling on the Die Hard as a Christmas movie people. And I don't think – I think that those people have given it up. But now we're like, oh, is it – Die Hard is a Christmas movie, right? And I feel like can we just stop talking about it, period?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
I'm happy to not talk about it.
Yeah, maybe once every few years we watch Die Hard. It's fun.
Die Hard's great. It's a good movie. It's set during Christmas. Let's not banish Die Hard from the canon. Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. Ho, 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 I have a machine gun. These are great. It's a great movie.
Ow, my feet hurt.
Ow, my feet hurt because I'm walking on glass.
Yeah.
And finally...
Ooh, ow, oh, ow.
And finally...
That famous line.
Hello, Urkel's dad.
let's take another call.
Hey, Jordan, Jesse, Ted, and Amy. I have a holiday quandary for you. And it's more of a, is this an ill-advised choice. So my husband and I were driving home from Thanksgiving, and we decided that it would be great to buy each other and all the members of my family that are going to be together for Christmas nuggies. Each one completely different and hopefully personalized to that person. Is this a stupid thing to do? And if so, is it the good kind of stupid, or the stupid that we should rethink this? We haven't purchased any of them yet, but I can't guarantee what will happen by the time this call gets off air. Either way, I'd love to hear what you guys have to say about it. Thanks.
I mean, why not? It's 2006, right?
Yeah. Wait, so I didn't hear what she's buying.
Snuggies.
They're buying Snuggies for
Snuggies
everybody.
Are great.
Snuggies.
They're not a meme anymore, so go for it, I say.
Yeah, I mean, I think, right. And I think I know what you're getting at, Ted, and like, there was a while where it's like, okay, well, you could earnestly purchase a Snuggie. You could be a ironic hipster who's like, look at this dumb fucking thing. But now we are so far past that that you can just appreciate the functionality that is the Snuggie.
And it's a little – the callback to that. To when they when it was all that thing. It has a little bit of a humor, you know.
Yeah. Do you own one yourself?
I don't, but I feel like I maybe used to, or I know I've been in a Snuggie or two.
Don't look at us as though we've been to your house and tried
you got,
on
you
your
know my
various
closet, right?
casual
yeah, sure.
warming items. I would love. I don't think this is the worst idea. I especially like the idea of getting something monogrammed. I know that when you said that you were going to get a individual one for each person, you just meant that Uncle Frank is getting a Cowboys Snuggie.
Sure.
You can get children's Snuggies that are shaped. Here's one shaped like a shark, so it looks like the shark is eating you alive.
Yeah, that's fucking dope.
That's great.
That's
baller.
For $19.99, which is awesome.
Sounds like a good value.
I think it's a good idea because it's for the family. You're going to spend a couple of days together, immediately put on and use your Snuggie to establish that this is just a thing that we're doing. We're going to have this thing in common. Maybe it gets thrown out after Christmas. Who cares? That's not your problem. But it'll be like a shared, because mostly you're going to sit around watching Die Hard.
Right.
So you need to be in that shark Snuggie.
Yeah.
I will say that I also – like on the one hand, I think all of those are very valid reasons. I do think it's past its meme-ness, so you don't need to worry about that. I do think it's nice that everybody's doing the same thing together, and I do like the idea of individualizing it for everyone. Mm-hmm. There's a part of me that wishes it was something good.
Yes.
And so I might offer – and it perhaps doesn't – I don't know what the budget range is for this gift exchange – I might offer flannel pajamas as an alternative.
I think I agree with you. Something that you can actually use because a Snuggie is a big thing to transport in your luggage going home. And it you probably won't use it any other time, but the flannel pajamas, yes.
I'm like, let's go to Land's End. Let's go to VermontCountryStore.com.
I'm with you.
Let's get them monogrammed. I'm all about the monogramming part. I know that's something that I've grafted onto this.
Sure.
No, I like it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A little crest on the pocket.
Would love it.
I want to push back a little bit just to say that, you got to know your audience.
Okay, you're a guest,
though. We've had a lot of friendly disagreements on the show, and I don't think anybody is mad.
Yeah, no, I think
not yet.
We know that you're full of shit.
Christmas
time. There's worms in my eyes.
you have to know your audience. You have to know if your family is, like, a lot of people aren't pajama people.
No,
right. You know, but there are, like, wrap a blanket around you people. Mm. Snuggies I don't have one. I honestly can't remember when I've been in one, but I know it was enjoyable.
What about a robe?
And I think
everybody buys robes. I have a thousand robes. Don't get anybody a robe.
Okay. Land of a thousand robes.
Are you sure that you don't just have what appears to be a robe lifestyle, and that's why you're attracting robes?
People give you robes. Yeah,
you also have kimonos. I could see people giving Amy Mann a lounge kimono.
I do not have a kimono
as a gift.
That does not mean I
just
want one.
Just out of your general sense of Los Angeles elegance.
Yeah, I do not have a kimono. They're all fluffy, white, gigantic robes that I will never use. Yeah.
Kimonos are very big, Ted, in the punk rock community. Is that correct? Everybody's always giving each other kimonos.
Yeah. That was back in like 87.
Yeah.
Right. Back before everybody sold out.
Yeah.
Back before fucking Green Day ruined it.
Fucking pop punk is bullshit. No kimonos.
Thank you. But I will say I don't know if a Snuggie and a flannel pajama are a comparable item. I think a Snuggie has a toss it on, toss it off, you know, kind of functionality. Kind of like, I'm on the couch, I just want to warm up a little bit. You know, and a pajama is something else. You're not sleeping in a Snuggie.
I see them both representing holiday coziness.
Yeah, sure.
Seasonal coziness.
Mm-hmm. But if you can get your entire family different Snuggies to make it look like different animals are eating them, then let's go Snuggie.
Yeah,
let's do it.
Everybody can have a different animal that's eating them.
I just want to say that we've had a lot of heat from this question, a lot of crackling disagreement, and I'm really proud of the work we've done on Jordan Jesse Go, but this will be our last episode.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I don't think we can recover from the great Snuggie pajama debate.
No, I know. It ripped the podcast asunder.
Yeah. You got another one, Jordan?
Let's see. What do we got here? Christmas song. We've covered it.
What channel?
This is actually one I've kind of been dealing with, so this will help me. In addition to this listener, whose name is Farte 3745328. So thank you, Farte 3745328. I couldn't be more in this headspace. So I think this is really good. I'm anxious to hear what you guys have to say. What's the best universally liked gift for someone when you don't actually know what they want?
Flannel pajamas, not a goddamn Snuggie. I'll tell you that right now.
I think I have this. I have I feel like I have like business contacts that I would like to send a little gift to and people that I don't know that well. And it's like, I don't have a lot of money to spend on these. And it's like, fuck, what's not a Starbucks card? And I think that's the zone I'm in now. Any thoughts? Any ideas?
Photo of you in a Snuggie?
Just lounging on. Yeah, I mean, I think everyone would like that. Suitable for framing.
Make sure to be really hard, though.
Well, if I'm in it, it's Snuggie.
Yeah.
Foregone conclusion.
I have two ways to think about this, none of them which, I mean, this isn't impossible. I just don't even buy presents anymore because I'm so bad at it. But the two ways to think of it are to give them something that sort of speaks to an aspiration that they have. Mm-hmm. Like if they sort of secretly think of themselves as a musician, something that speaks to that.
Right.
Or something that you are just really interested in, you know, even if it's like, I read this book and I loved it and I thought maybe you would. Because at least that's like, that is meaningful. Yeah. Even if they don't, because when I get presents like that, like even if I don't necessarily connect with the book. Like, I feel like I connect with the person because they gave me a thing they were really into.
Yeah, they're thinking about you.
Yeah.
What you might like.
I mean, I'm with Amy and Ted on this. You should give people the Bible.
Sure, yes. The only book, as far as I'm concerned.
That's the word of God.
Jordan. Sure, yeah. And that's the gift that keeps
R.
on
Crumb's
giving.
Illustrated biblical stories.
Yes, sure.
Be sure to offend everyone.
Right, yes.
Why don't you try the Joy of Sex 2?
Is there a Joy of Sex 2?
I think there is.
Yeah. That's great. Well, I have to have read the Joy of Sex 1 to get it.
spoilers for Joy of Sex 2.
Whoa, yeah. Actually, this is something I've sent out a couple of these, and it's gone really well so far. This sounds like a fucking ad we would do. There's a website called The Sill that will mail you a nice little plant.
Oh,
and that's gone over really good
so
far. I've gotten a couple. They're really affordable. You can get pet-friendly ones. If you work at this website, fucking sponsor us because I will talk it up. It's called The Sill. They mail you a little plant.
I like that.
That sounds fantastic.
And it's about the price of a Starbucks card, too.
Maybe go get something at Muji.
Oh, Muji. Muji's fun.
Always be tasteful. Always be reasonably
little
priced.
Little pencils.
I love pencils and notebooks. That's my notebook. Is a Muji notebook.
Oh, nice.
I'll never forget. A British person once said to me, "Is that a Muji jumper?" And I've never been able to.
That's a very fun thing to say in a British accent.
Yeah, yeah.
The other thing I like is the amalgamation of small things.
Yes.
Mm. Like if there's four things in a little bag, it doesn't matter if they're four very cheap, garbagey things.
Yes.
It's just fun to have a bunch of stuff.
And you put it, and it shows that you put it together.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Doesn't matter. So you can get really small and dumb.
One time, my mom's friend, Sam Sternberg, gave me a gift that was four small things. And one of them was those kind of binoculars that fold up into a little flat, like the size of a card case.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you press a little button and they pop out into a triangle shape, and then you can look around. So I would say probably that's good for business contacts.
Love
well,
it.
Hey, there's only four small things I need this holiday season. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus,
Deuteronomy.
I skipped Deuteronomy. I go right to Axe.
Right.
Big Axe fan over here. Love their body spray.
You've never, but that said, you have not read Deuteronomy until you've seen it with a lot of bodacious babes.
Right, yes. Women, yes.
Booties and wide shoulders.
Women with giant butts. R. Crumb we're talking about.
Yeah, we're talking about R. Crumb.
Yeah.
The regular actual Bible.
but who are we?
Yeah.
Who are we to?
I haven't read it in the original Aramaic or whatever.
Sure, Lot's wife could have been thick.
Yeah.
There's something I know about Lot's wife.
I think we're coming up with a pretty good idea for a radical new translation of the Bible.
Right. Check out the turd cutter on Lot's wife.
Oh, my God.
I don't know what character is saying that.
Sounded kind of like the Bronx guy.
Yeah, it's my second character. I'm back. Fee guy was here. That wasn't funny. Here I am. Whoa, nice dumper, Lot's wife. What's her name in the Bible? I don't think she has an actual name.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, have we done it? Have we solved the holidays?
I think we pretty much solved the holidays. Yeah. Do you guys have any problems that you've been facing this holiday season? I know that you've been traveling all across town looking for outfits.
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
Trying to find a costume store open on a Sunday.
Yeah. I've got problems galore, but not many of them having to do with Christmas. So, yeah.
Just general year-round perennial problems.
What's your favorite Christmas song to sing, you two?
Oh, yeah.
Because we asked you what your favorite one to listen to is.
I do I'll Be Home for Christmas. I love that song.
That's nice. Yeah.
It is a nice song.
Donkey song.
Yeah. Donkey song. I could tell it has a lot of meaning for you.
Can really get into it.
I got to say.
Ham it up.
For me, it's got to be Honky Tonk But Donkey Donk.
Sure.
That's a Christmas song.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the diehard of.
Sure. Right. Did you know? Yeah.
this is a little self-aggrandizing, but we wrote a Christmas song a number of years ago called.
Nothing Left to Do.
Nothing Left to Do. Thank you. That I pretty much only hear it when we play it at our Christmas shows, and I really like that song.
I like it too.
Yeah. I think we did a good job of that.
It's another sad, somebody's not there.
Yeah.
Somebody's alone. what happened. We're not really sure.
How does a sad? How do you start writing a sad Christmas song? Like, where does the?
I don't know.
What's
that you
the
or
germ
I have a
of
choice.
The process?
It's just,
yeah,
it's just what happens.
I know exactly.
Yeah. If you're sad,
the songs are sad.
Yeah. My Christmas wish this year is that this be the first year of the last 8 years of my life that I can have a Christmas tree in my house without my fucking kids pulling the ornaments and lights off of it and, like, throwing them around.
Oh, my God. What kind of monsters are you raising?
Human monsters. That's
I don't think I've ever thrown an ornament.
My youngest is 2.5.
Yeah, I respected, Christmas when I was
a child. 2.5, yeah, does not really understand it's
an ornament. My 8-year-old doesn't do this. She's, she's a responsible adult. I mean, she's drinking and driving the whole nine yards.
I agree.
She's studying
picking
to be a
nog.
Doctor.
Yeah.
She's got nog in her bottle.
Where'd you get this nog? I learned it from watching you, Dad. Riding your bike around, pounding your Kroger nog.
But having children necessitates both having a decorated Christmas tree without which they cannot enjoy Christmas.
Right.
Yeah.
And constantly being like, don't touch it.
Right.
Hands off the Christmas tree.
Give tinsel, because that can.
That's a choking. Yeah. That's a choking hazard for everyone.
Yeah, I've choked on tinsel a few times. I should stop trying to eat it.
But so you're down to like just the old timey wooden ornaments and stringing popcorn on a stick.
Oh yeah, sure.
Stringing popcorn. Yeah, these are your solutions.
Yeah, because I think the thing about a Christmas tree is like the kids can ruin it, but it could also the shit can hurt them.
Yeah,
it's like glass and electricity.
Yeah,
also,
spiky glass.
Like hooks.
Yeah. Hooks.
I think maybe Christmas tree water is bad for dogs.
Mm.
I don't know. My dogs definitely want to drink it.
Hmm. It's their nog.
Yeah.
Dog nog.
Dog nog.
Christmas tree
pine water.
Yeah,
old pine water.
Mm-hmm. You know, Jordan, dog nog backwards is God gone. I don't think it's any coincidence.
That's true. That's true. That's the final verse of Acts.
Okay.
Big here.
As revealed to the prophets by Puzzle Master Will Shorts.
Yes, sure. By Puzzle Master Will Shorts.
We'll be back.
Call it all back. Who cares? Doesn't make sense.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go.
Hey, if you like your podcast to be focused and well-researched and your podcast host to be uncharismatic, unhorny strangers who have no interest in horses, then this is not the podcast for you.
Again, what's your deal? I'm Emily.
I'm Lisa.
Our show's called Baby Geniuses.
And its hosts are horny adult idiots. We discover weird Wikipedia pages every episode.
We discuss institutional misogyny.
We ask each other the dumbest questions, and our listeners won't stop sending us pictures of their butts.
We haven't asked them to stop, but they also aren't stopping.
Join us on Baby Geniuses
every other week on MaximumFun.org. La, 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 la,
la, la, la, la. I've got a message for you.
Hi, it's me, April Wolf, the host of Switchblade Sisters and co-writer of the new horror film, Black Christmas.
And I'm Katie Walsh, film critic and occasional host of Switchblade Sisters.
We're here to announce that for one episode, we will be doing something a little different. Much like Jeff Goldblum in David Cronenberg's The Fly, I will be going through a truly disturbing transformation.
April will transform from the interviewer into the interviewee. I will be asking her all about her new film, Black Christmas, her writing process, and ongoing existential dread.
But I will also be discussing John Carpenter's perfect masterpiece, Prince of Darkness.
You guys seen any movies you like?
So tune in to Switchblade Sisters for a one-of-a-kind episode with April Wolf and me, Katie Walsh.
See you then.
Only the corrupt I listen to now.
It's Jordan, Jesse, Go! I'm Jesse Hot Pants Thorne.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
I'm Ted, not Edward, Leo.
Amy, man, oh man, it's Shevitz.
Yeah. Yeah, now we're talking. Yeah. Now we're in business.
I had to do those nicknames.
The great Amy Mann is here and Ted Leo.
You guys have a podcast here on MaximumFun.org.
Mm.
Art of Process.
Art of Process.
Yes.
Who have been your fave guests recently?
I'm going to say Emily Nussbaum
she was
came prepared
yeah.
with her many like actual process rules, because that's what really fascinates me when people have their sort of little, you know, internal rules they've hammered out and have never uttered out loud. Mm. But, you know, when somebody asks, they sort of realize, like, yes, I do. I do have like a list of things I try when I, you know, when I have writer's block. I like there are things that I, you know, that I have to do like a checklist to see if I can get myself out of a problem, a writing problem.
I feel like there is no other way. Emily Nussbaum is the TV critic for The New Yorker. And I feel like there's no other way to have that job than to be like that, because mm-hmm. she will write in a given column about two or three shows. Often she's writing about a season or multiple seasons of those shows. And I know, as somebody who, you know, when I used to do a culture essay, a recommendation essay once a week on Bullseye, like, you have to have many more things than you write about, because otherwise you don't have a take on the other things.
Yeah,
like, she's not writing the kind of column where she just writes about what the new shows are. She's writing about things that she really has perspective on.
Yeah.
And things to say about. And like, I can't even, like, watching a movie and having a perspective on it seems hard to me.
Yeah.
Much less watching 14 hours of a season of television. And then
just sitting down to watch the movie.
Hmm. Yeah.
I know.
Exactly.
excuse me. I've fallen behind on edits mm-hmm. recently, but there'll be like a bit of a reboot after the holidays. And upcoming is Scott Aukerman.
Oh, yeah. Great.
Yes, he
he's
was
another
great.
Person who I would encourage listeners of this show, if they're interested in Comedy Bang Bang or you know, anything that Scott has done to...
Probably our listeners aren't interested in Scott Aukerman.
No,
right?
No.
They are.
I think that's too circle. There's no overlap in that Venn diagram.
They're interested.
No, our listeners don't really like. I did some audience research,
oh,
Jordan,
really?
And the two things they said they didn't like were Scott Aukerman, Comedy Bang Bang, mm-hmm. and Wet Hot American Summer. They said they're just not interested in those things.
Max Von Earwolf, yeah. and Ne'er the Twain Shall Meet.
Yes, just worlds apart.
Just worlds apart. Just different audiences.
He also, toward the end of our conversation, I think it came out kind of organically. He delineated for himself some very specific rules for approaching a writing project.
Yeah, for writing a story.
Yeah.
Well, he said that he had come across these rules,
right.
and I made him go through the rules.
That's right.
I was
that's
like,
right.
tell
that's
me what the rules are right now.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. That'll be hopefully helpful and interesting. If I could just throw one more out there.
Please.
A while back, we interviewed our friend Eli Addy, who has been a television writer out here for a while on House and The West Wing and things. But before that, he was a speechwriter for politicians, for people like former New York Mayor David Dinkins and Senator Dick Gephardt, Al Gore. And it was fascinating for me to hear someone who did that for a living talk about, you know, how with each of these different people, you get into their cadence and their head and you help them craft what they want to say. And then you actually write it, you know.
Yeah, the art form is to get into somebody else's head.
Yeah.
To me, that was really interesting. But I mean, you know, it's like that's applicable to what, you know, if we're writing from the point of view of a character.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I would imagine, particularly if you're writing for Dick Gephardt or Al Gore, you have the challenge of communicating a message while removing all personality from that message at all. Replacing it with bland blondness or bland technocraticness.
I think there probably were like a few. There probably were a few like discussions about this is a little too fiery.
Yeah.
This is
mm-hmm.
not a thing I would say. This yeah. is or this is not a way I would say it.
I'd love to hear like a first draft of a speech he wrote for Dick Gephardt, where maybe getting too deep into Dick Gephardt material here,
yeah.
but like where it's like a grandiloquent like barn burner, and Dick Gephardt is delivering it in his like. In his Missourian congressman style of like, yes, I like unions. That's pretty much his message.
And hey, in addition to downloading the podcast, which all listening can and should do,
yeah.
This comes out on Tuesday. If you're in Southern California, you can catch the holiday show at Largo.
Oh, great.
I'm going to be there on Wednesday night, so say what's up if you come. Yeah.
I heard our friend Lisa Loeb maybe is going to be there. Did I see that on there?
Yeah, that's true.
She's our special guest. There's Wednesday there's two shows, 7:30 and then 9:45.
Monday, Tuesday, that's right.
They're at the Largo.
We've got
it's gonna be a hell of a show.
Our guests for all shows are Paul F. Tompkins and Lisa Loeb and the Sklar Brothers.
Oh, great.
Julie Sweeney.
All right.
And then we have different special musical guests each night. Tuesday night is Open Mike Eagle.
Oh, right.
Wednesday night are the Milk Carton Kids.
Awesome. I don't know who they are.
They're fantastic.
But I suspect that they're great. If they're on this fucking killer lineup.
Yeah. Do you ever think to yourself, am I a success in show business? Have I done what I came here to do? And then you remember that you could email Lisa Loeb and you're like, yeah, I did. Yeah.
I'm here. I've made it.
Yeah.
Time to walk into the ocean.
Yep.
Boop. Oh, that reminds me. I'll see you assholes later. Fuck off.
The Art of Process is the name of the podcast. You can go see them at Largo. Amy Mann and Ted Leo have been our guests. What a joy it's been to have you on the program. Thank you for solving all of our holiday problems.
Happy holidays.
Yes, we solved everything. We know it all.
Yeah. So. America is great again.
So if you're out there and you still have holiday problems, maybe you're the problem.
Yeah. That's a really
good
point.
That is our message.
You've got a glitch. Fucking bro.
Our producer is Brian Sunity Fernandez. You can find us on Reddit, MaximumFun.reddit.com. Hashtag it JJGo on Twitter. We're on Twitter at Jordan_Morris, at Jesse Thorne. We will see you at SF Sketchfest in January.
We sure will.
Brian, is this week's episode, right?
Yeah, we can do that.
Well, I will see you at the Put This On Holiday Sale here in Los Angeles on Sunday the 15th. We love you all very much, and goodbye.
Snow that beats against the windowpane. The fire inside is warm and dry. The trees up, the lights are hung again. There's nothing left to do. There's nothing left to do. There's nothing left to do. But turn the radio on and wait for a song to listen to. Of sleigh bells, songs of snow. But it's awful lonely listening to all that joy and mistletoe. There's nothing left to do. There's nothing left.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Audience supported.